Here's the truth. If you're doing most of the talking as a teacher, your students aren't doing the learning. We need to learn and figure out how to transfer more ownership to our students. One way we can do that is involve them in the process more. But it's really hard to make the invisible visible. We all have great intentions. Planning that unit, designing that lesson, go out there and ask the questions and reflect, oh, I did a really good job. Students really enjoyed that. They really learned. But then, confronted with reality, oh my gosh, I talked the entire time. If there was a tool for that, what kind of shifts would you make as a teacher? If there was a tool for that, would you invest in it as a ruckus maker to help your teachers reflect on how much they spoke and how much the students actually learned? Well, there is a tool for that, and it sponsors the podcast. It's called TeachFX. But the cool thing about today's episode, we get to hear one leader's story about how they've actually implemented TeachFX and the before and after, right? How education, how teaching and learning has changed on their campus. And so Dr. Horton will talk about that experience from her seat as a principal. But we also have Joseph Hyun visiting us as well, who helps facilitate professional learning experiences and helps teachers grow. Hey, it's Danny. I'm a principal development and retention expert, best-selling author, and I host two of the world's most downloaded podcasts. And we'll be on to the main content after some quick messages from our show sponsors. Hey, Ruckus Maker, I'll make this quick. If you're listening to this message right now, you're missing out. When you subscribe to the Ruckus Maker newsletter on Substack, you get access to microbooks focused on how to do school different, tools and other resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different, stories and case studies of the world's most legendary ruckus makers of all time, access to my calendar to schedule coaching sessions, and you'll also get bonus podcast content that won't be released on the main podcast feed and podcast episodes without any advertisements. So if you love this show, if it's helped you grow, and you want access to more tools and resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different, then become a paid subscriber at ruckusmakers.substack.com. That's ruckusmakers.substack.com. As a principal with so much to do, you might be thinking constantly, where do I even start? It's a good question, and that's why I created a 12-month principal checklist just for you. When you download it for free, you're going to get a 12-month checklist that identifies general tasks that every campus will want to do each month. But the checklist also includes space where you can write campus-specific items and two opportunities to reflect on what worked and what you want to continue doing and what didn't work and what you want to change or improve. When you take action on this checklist for a year, you will have built a leadership playbook for your school, and you won't have to reinvent the wheel or feel like a first-year principal all over again. Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/principal-checklist to download for free right now. Over 1 million teachers rely on IXL because it's empowering. It helps them make better decisions with reliable data, and it adapts instruction based on student performance. Get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. How would you like to increase student talk by an average of 40%? More student ownership, more student discourse. Check it out for yourself by trying out TeachFX. Go to teachfx.com/betterleaders to pilot their program today. Question. Would you serve your own kids the same food you serve your students in your cafeteria? Now, Quest Food Management Services elevates the student dining experience, serving scratch-made meals using high-quality ingredients that are sourced locally and responsibly. Now, that is food you can be proud to serve. Learn more about Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com.
Well, hello, Ruckus Makers. Today, we're joined actually by not one, but two exceptional guests, and I'm looking forward to speaking with both of them. We have Dr. Horton and Joseph Hyun. Dr. Horton began her career in education at Navajo Mountain Community School as a teacher in a multi-age classroom. Dr. Horton has a commitment to supporting students and teachers through collective educator agency and relational capacity. Dr. Horton currently serves as principal of Continental Colony Elementary School and is founder of LEADS. She understands support for teachers will sustain her why every day to increase life chances for students. Now, Joseph Hyun started his educator journey at UCSD when he signed up to tutor local high school students and discovered his passion for teaching math and commitment to fighting for social justice. Today, Joseph serves as the head of partner success at TeachFX. You might have heard of that name before. They're a great sponsor of our podcast, and where he supports teachers in increasing equitable opportunities for their students to participate and engage in learning. Dr. Horton and Joseph, welcome to this show.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to be here.
It's my pleasure. So, well, hey, I want to start with you, Dr. Horton, and it's so important, right, to see educators and see leaders who look just like you. In your K-12 experience, that included two leaders, right, that looked just like you. And can you tell me a bit about them and that story?
Yeah. So in my K-12 experience, they actually were teachers. So I never really experienced having a leader who was African-American. But in the classroom, actually K-12, my first time experiencing having a teacher that looked like me was in fourth grade and again in seventh grade. So, you know, I just knew that was, I had always wanted to be a teacher, but I knew that was one of the biggest things that I wanted to just be, you know, a representation of for students of color.
Right. You said you always wanted to be a teacher. Is that right?
Well, I kind of went back and forth between interior design because I love to do that. And also education. But, you know, my heart is really in education, just being around students, developing people. And so this is, you know, my passion.
Got it. And I know you've mentioned to me that you were a reluctant leader. So how did you find yourself to be a principal?
So this was not the path that I planned on taking. So when I started teaching, I taught for about 8 years. And then I became an instructional coach for mathematics. And I loved working with curriculum. I love working with teachers and students. And so I really wanted to stay on the professional learning side. But then I went to the district level and my supervisor there, he told me, he said, I think you need to try being a building leader. It's a different experience. It's not like the experience you have with coaching. You just need to try it out. So I was very reluctant. And I became an assistant principal. And I have to admit, I did not like it at all. That first year, but then I was under a principal that really showed me if you put the right systems in place, then you can be focused on instruction and students versus just operational stuff. So she really kind of showed me like, yeah, being an administrator, you kind of make the path for your school and you own the work. So that's what changed my mind to go into leadership and why I should stay to stay in leadership because of that experience.
You make that practical for the Ruckus Maker listening? Because when you talk about systems or making the work your own and that kind of thing, conceptually, I get it, right? But what does that look like? You know, maybe is there an example you can give?
So a lot of times as a leader, you have a lot of people, especially I'm in a district. So you have certain mandates, you have certain things you have to do, certain PD that you have to follow. But at the end of the day, you have to go into your building and make it. And you have to really look at your demographic, look at the teachers you're working with, because they're all different. And you have to shape it to make it fit your building. Because I don't believe, just like in the classroom, we tell teachers, there has to be differentiation. You have to do the same on a building level. So although we may be a part of the district, yes, we're going to follow the mandates that are required, but we can definitely make it our own to ensure that we are, first of all, comfortable with it. And I think when you believe in something and you own it and you've created it, then there's so much more buy-in for that thing. So I just think it's really about, okay, you have a school you have to run. You have these things that you have to do. but how can you shape it and make it the, like we say, the continental colony way?
Right. Yeah. So the continental colony way, and I heard you talking about shared ownership, you know, and distributed leadership, you know, that kind of thing. But if people feel a part of the process, I can only imagine how much more they want to accomplish the goals.
Right. And you definitely look at what your staff needs, what your students need, and actually looking into products, professional learning that will shape that need. Not, this is what our district goal is for the, our, you know, PL is for the year, but what do your teachers need in order to move the needle at your school?
Right. And I don't know if that's how TeachFX fits into the larger story. I'm sure we'll get to that. But Joseph Young, I want to talk about how the universe loves to play jokes on you. And one of them maybe was that you were a teacher who hated PD, but here you are now leading professional learning. What's going on there?
Yeah, I never could have imagined that this is the seat I would find myself in. I taught for 11 years, and I think in the 11 years, maybe like two or three PDs I felt like made a difference in my mindset or my instruction, and the rest were just checking boxes, things that were being done to us. In fact, the word professional development, I think that's baked into the term. And yeah, it's the universe's cruel joke that now I get to lead professional learning and try to create experiences for teachers that is everything that's not what I experienced. It's a tough challenge, but I'm honored to be able to work with Dr. Horton and her amazing staff at Continental and with schools and districts around the country.
So I'm curious, you know, I have an idea of what like professional development done to teachers, you know, could feel like. But is there an example of like the absolute worst day of PD that you experienced?
Oh man, that's a great question.
And you don't have to name like, right, who did it, but.
Well, here's the person's name and email. Just kidding. Honestly, I think back on a lot of curriculum PDs where district makes a choice on what we are going to be teaching and how we need to do it. And the PDs for new curriculum just feel like, well, we have the answers. Here now is how you need to do it. And let's practice it together. Let's go through your questions. And there's no agency for the teacher there. It's almost like you have to, you're struggling to just try to fit what you know is happening in your classroom with your students to this outside entity that is now kind of forcing something on you. So I think that might be an example. Like I have a couple in mind, but that's the generic answer.
Okay. And what makes it work?
Professional learning?
Yeah. When you do it right and you know it's landing. So as somebody who's out there, you know, sharing and, you know, I'm sure it's got to be sometimes nerve-wracking and a bit of the imposter syndrome, like standing in front of a staff and, you know, will this work might be a question going through your mind, but there you are, you're sharing. What seems to land? How does it work?
There's a couple things that I think have helped me. And I will admit right now that I am still very much on this journey of, you know, trying to grow my own practice as a facilitator. But number one is just being really honest. I think it's helpful for me to be able to draw on my own experience in the classroom and to share the challenges that I faced and to be openly vulnerable with the people I work with. I think that is really important just for me personally and even with the work that we do with TeachFX. But the second one, I'll actually just borrow Dr. Horton's phrase about making it your own. It's not me making it my own. It's trying to create a scenario or an environment where teachers are able to apply their own expertise and to share their expertise and have it celebrated and to be able to learn from each other. Those types of professional learning environments where it's noisy and there's productive conversation and there's good tangents, you know, relevant tangents, and even ones that aren't always relevant. Things that will get people, you know, drawn into the conversation and being part of it. That's to me what an amazing PL is like.
Yeah, it's real, right? It's authentic. Kristen, let's pull on the thread and connect some dots with this idea of like ownership. You know, I know how awesome TeachFX is. I've been around the team, you know, and have known the service for years. But I'd love to hear from your experience as a principal who sort of hears about it, sees it, decide, you know, okay, this is something that will elevate, you know, student achievement on campus. But Yeah. How'd you go about like deciding to bring it in? And then more importantly, how did it become like an us, a we, right? Ownership type of thing versus, hey, y'all, we're doing this.
So of course, we at literally like right before I heard the representative from TeachFX speak, I was at a conference. Mm-hmm. We had just finished our school improvement plan and our big focus was going to be around student academic ownership. Place that we were struggling to see consistently in every classroom. And I'm at this conference and she's talking about that. I'm like, oh my goodness, that sounds great, you know. So we kind of talked about it and it was just a way for teachers to own the PL, to own it, because they're looking at their data, they're looking at their recordings. And I thought it was a great way just to give them insight that there was, that we did have a challenge with releasing students, right? So looking at your data, you can see, you know, if you have a 90% teacher talk, there is a challenge with academic ownership on the behalf of students. So really being able, I like the program because I thought that we could, you know, actually first have some buy-in where we see that there's an issue. And then when we meet about it, it's the teacher reflecting. So I had to get over, this was a big hurdle for me, the fact that I can't look at the recording out a teacher sharing with me because it is a reflection tool. And I think that makes it even more valuable for a teacher because it's not a program that we're putting on you, but it's a tool to help you reflect on your practice. So we brought it in and we started small with a small group. And then TeachFX came in face to face and did some work around just modeling. And it's not just the app, but actually modeling in the classroom for our teachers. And it was very valuable. And then teachers were able during the professional learning to actually listen to their recording. So again, we weren't giving them a program to go do, but you're actually looking at your data, listening to your lesson and having a reflection and setting a goal for yourself. So the reflection in it and then the value in teachers being able to, during these professional learning, to really focus on what's happening in my classroom. Not, this is a program that, you know, is evidence-based, we've done this and this, but they're actually looking at what's happening in their classroom and being able to reflect and move the needle forward.
You know, I appreciate how it's not like an evaluative tool, it's a reflection tool. I think that's a real key distinction. Difficult for school leaders, principals, ruckus makers to let go a bit of control, right? But reflection's an amazing thing. And I think of it, you know, in terms of scaling the Dr. Horton within the building, multiplying yourself, right? By providing objective feedback. Like, no, this is what happened. I'm not judging it. This is just what happened. And what's the meaning that you make out of it? And so that's really interesting and important and key feature, you know, there. The pilot, like, how many people did you pilot with? Because I think that was a smart move in terms of introducing the program and compared to the number of staff. So how many people piloted and how many teachers are on the staff?
So we piloted with about 7 teachers first. It was a representative from each grade level. People that I thought, you know, are very, you know, they kind of jump on and want to try new things. And then and whole staff maybe a couple of months later. I'm introducing it, you know, first just allowing teachers to report when they wanted to report. And now it becomes a part of our coaching conversations, you know, where we're asking teachers to report during the week. And you come to your coaching conversation and just kind of share, one of the things I start off with is share a proud moment. I got this from Joseph. Share a proud moment from your reporting this week so they can, you know, kind of reflect and work towards a goal for their class.
Yeah, so good. You know, the human brain and probably it's in our DNA, it's so easy to focus on negative. So pausing, slowing things down, celebrating the wins, you know, I think is a really smart move. I want to turn the mic back to you, Joseph. And I'm just curious, when you're working with the staff, right? Like, how have you seen them grow as, you know, you put on these professional learning experiences and help them with how they utilize TeachFX?
Yeah, there's a couple examples that I'm thinking about. One was from last year, a member of our team who came and actually did a model lesson in one of the classrooms. There's one thing to talk about pedagogy, to talk about instructional practices. It's a completely other thing to actually have us look at it in real time and to have that culture where there was no evaluation. It was not critique. It was a lot of praise and celebration, but specifically looking at in what ways did student discourse appear through the strategies that we had been talking about. The other example that I would pull from is from this year. We put the teachers in a scenario where they were much like our students. We gave them a challenging math problem to actually work through. And the goal was to try to unpack some of the state standards around mathematical modeling. But modeling is not something that you just tell somebody what it is and how to do it. You really do have to have that lived experience through it. And then Dr. Horton's staff, they're incredible. Like they not only participated and dove in as learners, but they were also able to pull themselves out and reflect on that experience of, hey, when we took the time to think through this, or when we paired up to have this discussion privately, like they were able to reflect on their confidence levels and their ability to participate. And to me, that's a magical thing when a teacher makes that connection. Oh, I do this for my own students, or I can do this for my own kids.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say, if I got it right on that last piece, like, you know, there you are facilitating and modeling, and one of the ahas is a sort of meta moment. Oh, what we just did, I could bring that back immediately to the classroom and use it with my students. Is that correct?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, great. Well, Kristen, I want to ask you a similar question, but we're going to do a quick pause and get some messages in from our sponsors like TeachFX. And when we get back, I want to hear from you. What was teaching and learning like before TeachFX, and what was it like after?
You know, something that drove me nuts as a ruckus maker was hearing teachers say, I taught it and the students should have learned it. But really, some teachers just don't know how to reteach so that all kids get it. That's where IXL comes in. IXL's diagnostic automatically identifies knowledge gaps for teachers and provides them with a personalized growth plan for each individual student. Teachers can step into the classroom every day, knowing what their students know and what they don't. IXL's adaptive platform makes differentiating instruction easy. As students learn, IXL adjusts to the right level of difficulty for each individual. Close knowledge gaps and accelerate learning with IXL. Get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. In post-pandemic classrooms, student talk is crucial. And when classrooms come alive with conversation, teachers and students both thrive. TeachFX helps teachers make it happen. The TeachFX instructional coaching app provides insights into student talk, effective questions, and classroom conversation quality. TeachFX professional development complements the app and empowers teachers with best practices for generating meaningful student discourse. Teachers using TeachFX increase their student talk by an average of 40%. Imagine that, 40% more ownership over the class by students. Ruckus makers can pilot TeachFX with their teachers. Visit teachfx.com/betterleaders to learn how. That's teachfx.com/betterleaders. Here's a few reasons I love Quest Food Management Services. Quest provides high quality, scratch made food in K-12 schools and universities across the country. Quest provides solutions for school cafeterias of every size, including multi-station dining halls, cafes and coffee shops, marketplace grab and go, catering and events, satellite programming, and more. The Quest food philosophy is to prioritize the health and wellness of students by cultivating chef-crafted recipes containing high-quality ingredients and using scratch-made cooking techniques and responsible product sourcing. Learn more about Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com.
All right, and we're back with Dr. Horton, who serves as principal of Continental Colony Elementary School, and also Joseph Young, who is a partner, head of partner success, at TeachFX. So Kristen, before the break, you know, Joseph was sharing how he's seen your staff grow and change. But I'm curious from the principal's seat, the ruckus maker seat, what was teaching and learning like, right, before using TeachFX, and what's it like now?
So before, I'll start with just leadership. I think it was very eye-opening. We started to record ourselves. So my coaches, they record their collaborative planning sessions, things like that. And what we saw were, you know, we're asking teachers to create this wait time and this space for student discourse, but we weren't doing it as leaders. So we're leading teachers expecting something, but as leaders, we weren't doing the same thing. So I think even the way we lead in our professional learning, our collaborative planning, even our coaching conversation are a lot different. Because before it was more, say, this is what I saw, these next steps, let's go. Or this is the data, you know. And so now, like, actually listening to yourself and the fact that you don't stop to even give wait time to teachers, you know, we had to reevaluate the way we were leading. And so before it was more like, I'm going to give you all of this and now let's go, versus now when we were able to hear ourselves, we're able to ask more questions and give that way. And then, and it's more of a reflection. And then in the classroom side, we're really not where we want to be with this yet, but I've seen major strides. It's the student voice. So we're really trying to value the process of meaning making through student discourse. So we want to be able to hear the learning. We want to be able to see the learning. And I think it has come a long way. You do hear, like, I was in a classroom just today and there was so much wait time. And I even kind of got a little uncomfortable, but the students are now getting used to it, to where they were really thinking. And then more hands were going up. More students were able to talk. As students that you may not hear speak, you know, last year, you see them volunteering a lot more because they do have time to access. Or when there's wait time, if there's a long pause and still no one is talking, then we're throwing in those collaborative talk structures to give kids a chance to talk to each other before we come together. So I definitely think we're hearing the student voice, like we're hearing the learning, we're making it visible on the walls, as well as, you know, hearing it a lot more than there was before. It was a lot of teacher talk before, which teacher talk is not bad, we've heard that. But there is space where it needs to be much more student talk or group talk and even silence, to ensure that we are valuing the process.
Sure. I like to consider myself the king of wait time. And when I'm working with leaders who are so used to go, 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 that silence can become very uncomfortable for them. But I know that they're thinking, right? They're processing. And so I'm glad that you shared, at least I think I heard you share, that the leadership team, one of the ahas is, are we providing wait time, you know, for the faculty? So that was really cool. And I appreciate you sharing that. You know, something else I'm curious about is just, well, actually, I'll get to you in a second, Kristen. Something you mentioned was that collaborative talk structure. I actually don't really know what that is. And so I want to, you know, ask Joseph what that's all about. Because as the king of wait time, I just use silence to, you know, bend people. So, you know, right? Like, you will answer, you will think, right? And I do not talk until they think. I don't have a tool like a collaborative talk structure. I have no idea what that is. I have a guess, but can you tell me?
I'll actually give a nod to some of Dr. Horton's staff.
Hey.
Wait time is really powerful, but at the same time, we know that students process information differently and they're thinking differently. And so while some students can benefit from having that time to process, other students actually need to be able to speak to someone. Our external processors benefit from being able to pair up. So there's no one-size-fits-all move that you could ever do in a classroom that will, you know, equitably support every kid in the same way. But a collaborative structure is a great way to shake up that routine. And you could do something as simple as a think, pair, share type of activity. And then there's some like really fun ones. Depends on probably the age group and the culture of a classroom. But one of my favorite ones is stand up, pair up. Oh, stand up, pair up, share up, I believe it is. And essentially, students will all stand up, will all raise their hands. And until you pair up with somebody, you keep your hand raised, which ensures right. that every kid finds a partner.
As a partner.
And they have some kind of prompt. Then they do it again and they get to talk with multiple people, kids that they don't normally talk to every day, kids who don't sit next to them. And it really gets kids more active and engaged in a learning experience.
Okay. So back to the question I had for you, Kristen, and I wanted to talk to Joseph really quick. I'm wondering what surprised you, right? When you brought TeachFX in, and it could be, you know, personally from your leadership chair or just something you saw on the staff, but what surprised you?
What surprised me was the buy-in from, because we previously used a product that was more video recording and teachers were very reluctant or, you know, it just was hard to get them on board. So with TeachFX, some of my teachers are recording, like I said, multiple times a week. One teacher I coach, she's constantly sending me her, now you get an image of your lesson, and she's sharing that with students. And so just the reflective piece on how powerful it is for teachers to change practice, right? Instead of being, like you said, like it's feedback on a daily basis, report every day, it's feedback every report, not coming from an administrator, not coming from a coach, but you just looking at the reports and the insights and having that reflection. So I think just the buy-in from the teachers who are constantly recording and the change in their practice so quickly because of just the ownership and the reflection piece.
And my last question for you before we sort of run down this conversation, you know, I want to hear about the student experience. You just mentioned a teacher sharing something with the students, right? A snapshot or an image of the lesson. And obviously, you know, I bet the kids are like seeing, oh, we actually have more ownership now, right, within the class. But yeah, do teachers actually share the data and like look at it with the kids and make meaning of that as well? I don't know. What does that look like?
Like I said, share the image and just ask students to connect. What did we talk about yesterday? Where do you think we're going today?
What's the image?
So it just depends on the lesson. So the image is a teacher was teaching about narrative writing. And it looked like a scroll storyboard, like kind of an Alice in Wonderland. That was okay. The image to summarize the lesson. So it just depends on the lesson. And it gives you an image to kind of summarize the big idea of the particular lesson.
Okay. So the image is sort of like a graphical representation of what was taught, like what was discussed. Is that correct?
Like a picture.
It's like a picture. Got it. Joseph, anything to add to that in terms of the image stuff? I don't know, from a TeachFX perspective, just curious.
This is my favorite part of hearing our teachers and what they do. When they start talking about ways that they've brought their students into this process, it's incredible. Like, so the image is one. Yeah. Another teacher actually will read the summary of the lesson from the previous day to the students, because there's a written summary as well.
Yeah.
And the students will be like, wait, what? Oh, wait, we did talk about that. And it's a great way to just tap into prior knowledge, but also kind of acknowledge like your voice helped guide our learning yesterday. So let's take the moment to revisit that. And we've heard a lot of teachers love the word cloud. So they'll share the top 30 words that they use as a teacher, but the kids get really excited when they see the top 30 words that they use. It can become a game where they want to see certain words appear in their word cloud, words of the day that they want to make sure that they see in their word cloud.
Right. All right. Well, let's move on to the last few questions I ask all my guests as we finish up our conversation. So, Kristen, first to you, if you could put a message on all school marquees for just one day, what would your message be?
So this is, I saw this on Instagram. I don't know who wrote it, but now that I have it all the time, just as a reminder to me and the staff. The scariest place to be in is the same place as last year, period. Grow, period.
Got it. Joseph, same question to you.
I'm assuming that teachers, parents, everybody in the community would see it. So mine is listen to your kids.
Great. And now, if you were building your dream school, I guess collaboratively, and you weren't constrained by any sort of resources, your only limitation was your ability to imagine, how would you go about building this dream school? What would be the one most important principle? Kristen, I'll ask you first.
I think the biggest principle would be the curriculum is grounded in what students believe their purpose is. So a curriculum around what students, their purpose, their interest versus, you know, we're not an IB school, so we do a lot of e-bring where students are able to ask questions, but of course we're making it fit into a certain curriculum, but a school where everything was based around student purpose, right? Especially in fourth and fifth grade, you may have these pods where certain time of the day, you're going to a different pod based on what you feel your purpose, what you're driven to. And I think starting that young, you would just have so many people live purpose-driven lives.
Yes. Joseph, what would your principle be?
I think I would lean toward something Kristen said earlier, but it's around growth and reflection. So something around how not just our teachers, but everyone in our school community grows when we reflect. And so just to be able to have a school that engages in that honest and data-informed reflection regularly and to know that we have a growth mindset and that we're all professionals here, and that we have that capacity to grow. I would want everyone who signs up to be at our school to have that mindset with us.
Right. Last question is going to Dr. Horton only. So we've discussed a lot on this podcast today. So everything we talked about, what's the one thing you want a ruckus maker to remember?
Let's see. Well, I would say leaders in general, that just keep growing. Like, you want your staff to grow, kind of what Joseph just said, but never stop growing yourself.
Thanks for listening to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, Ruckus Maker. How would you like to lead with confidence, swap exhaustion for energy, turn your critics into cheerleaders, and so much more? The Ruckus Maker Mastermind is a world-class leadership program designed for growth-minded school leaders just like you. Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind. Learn more about our program and fill out the application. We'll be in touch within 48 hours to talk how we can help you be even more effective. And by the way, we have cohorts that are diverse and mixed up. We also have cohorts just for women in leadership and a BIPOC-only cohort as well. When you're ready to level up, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind and fill out the application. Thanks again for listening to the show. Bye for now, and go make a ruckus.